tonight on Recycle Bin. It's Front Page Tech versus Telosive Tech, Part 2. For one night only, mortal enemies collide for your entertainment. The man that makes loud noises on a fake tech news show faces off against Apple's very own Ginger Avenger. Prepare your anuses, for anything can happen. There will be blood. There will be turmoil. This is Recycle Bin.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to Recycle Bin, episode 11. Yes? 11. Yes?
Oh, God.
Yes? Know. No?
Yeah. 11. Don't say.
It's 11.
Say
it's
yes.
11.
Say yeah.
This is, what month is this? July, is this July 7th?
July yes? 7th. 7-7. Yeah.
These are things that we should do before the show starts, right? But no. We don't do that. No. Brian, everybody? Moment. Brian, how are you?
Hi. Hello. I'm great. That's enjoying my Bungie day.
Your who
you don't,
day?
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
It's a Halo joke. And, don't worry about it.
And of course, I was trying to hide him for as long as I could, but here you go. Here's Drew from Talos of Tech, everybody.
Hey, everyone. It's Talos of Tech. I know you hate me, but I'm happy to be here.
I like how happy you were about it.
Start every interview. I'm very happy right now.
The Life promo at the beginning of the show, we're just trying to keep the meme alive. The funny thing is, we actually get along pretty well. We're buds. Agree.
Well, yeah.
I think we agree about things more than we disagree about things.
I'd say like 80-90% of the time we agree on things, but people are insistent that there is a giant disagreement, or that when we're together there's a fight, and it's actually becoming more and more challenging to find the disagreements.
But we have to harder. We have to keep the meme alive. We have to give the people what they want.
Where it goes.
Blood.
You just at the end of the podcast just stab each other once and then bam. You're good. just a little
We'll be debating on something, and John will be like, yes, exactly. And I'll say, yes, exactly. But I hate you. Anyway.
Here, I'll be here to say, no, you're fucking wrong. BlackBerry is the best.
Did you say BlackBerry?
Yeah. I mean, come on.
What a joke.
Apple has nothing on BlackBerry. We know this.
Yeah. There were times where I used to go into... I used to go into Drew's live streams and super chat $10 and just say, hey, this is $10 to remind you that I hate you.
And I say thanks. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your.
Can you imagine if someone did that, like on the street, like a pedestrian was just like, "Here's $10, and I hate you." You'd be like, "All right, great."
Yeah, they just take a $10 bill and say, "Fuck you." Here's $10.
Fine.
I love that. I'm okay with that.
So the show's going to be a little bit different today. Actually, you know what I just realized? We had a structure for the show. It was. For the first 15 minutes, we go over news from this past week that the audience wants us to talk about, and then we do Q&A the last 15 minutes of the show. And then we started just letting the chat sort of dictate and steer the show in whatever direction they want, and still every week I come on and say, this show's going to be a little bit different, but it's the same shit thing that we do every week.
You do say that every episode. Yeah,
it's literally the same thing. Do. Super chats for the podcast, for the live stream. We are streaming this live. They're going to a charity, which we will pick in the post show. By the way, if you don't tune in the live stream, you're really missing out. We record Recycle Bin every Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So if you're listening to this on iTunes or wherever, make sure to check out YouTube and watch the show live. By the way, the RSS feed should be fixed. Everything's getting updated on iTunes. It's coming back to Google Podcasts because Google switched their thing because they're Google and they keep one thing alive and kill it and bring another thing to life and expect us to jump on board. Oh, also this week we are going to be on Spotify and iHeartRadio. Recycle Bin's coming to both of those things.
Nice.
So, yeah. Awesome. Killing it, Brian. Do we have anything in the chat to help us steer the direction here?
You know, man, I just saw something
Taylor
good.
Swift.
I feel like... Taylor Swift. This is a good one, I think.
Okay.
From the Masters Tech. Why are people looking forward to bendable smartphones but hating on motorized cameras / moving parts?
Who said anyone was looking forward to bendable?
People? Yeah. Like, I feel like those are separate audiences.
There's
the
10
people who don't like motorized cameras are not. Yeah. There's some people who would like both, and there's some people who think motorized cameras are stupid and think bendable phones are stupid. I don't know anyone who overlaps there.
Yeah, I don't. I don't know what that dude's talking. Brian, what do you think?
people like people looking forward to bendable phones but hating on the movable parts stuff.
Yeah, like what would you even say your opinion is on either of those things?
I think they're all fucking stupid, personally.
Okay, good. Good.
I agree. The bendable thing, the problem is people don't understand if you adopt a new tech like that, knowing how Oppo and Vivo handles new stuff like that, they're immediately going to compromise on eight other things so they can have one cool thing. And it overall will just be like a $1,000 phone that can't do half the things that iPhone could do. Like it's just everything is a compromise.
Do you remember back when Samsung first did the, I think it was like the Note 6 Edge, and I don't know which Note it was.
What, the Edge?
Note 7 Edge? No, the Note 7 blew up.
I love that there's only one Note that doesn't exist, and that's the Note 6, and you picked that one.
I know. I was like, what are you talking about?
What was it? The Note 5 Edge? There was a Note
that had... What are you trying to talk about? What are you saying?
Fuck! There was a Note phone that had one bendy edge on it. One.
Yeah.
Oh, it's I remember that.
It was the first time they were like... Bendy.
It was just the Note Edge. I think it was a number.
It was curved. It was Note Edge. Curved. Yeah, thank you, Drew.
Okay. Yeah, one side of it was curved.
Note Edge.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyway, now that we got to the part I wanted to be at, they did that to be like, hey, look what we can do. We're Samsung. Technology's cool. Look what happened. No one really bought the phone, but it was like a precursor.
I don't think it was in the U.S., right?
I don't know.
No, it was.
Yeah, it was. Jordan had one. Yep. Yeah, our friend Jordan.
Oh, okay. Come on.
But it was a precursor to what they were going to be able to do. So they took that ridiculous curve on the one edge of the phone and they made it practical. Mm-hmm. Now it's in like the, you know, the Galaxy S8 and the Galaxy S9 and stuff like that, where the edges are curved slightly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very, very important. So this whole curved thing, foldable phone, I feel like it's another one of those Samsung things where it's like, hey, look what we can do. Technology's cool. We're Samsung. We have all this money and we can do this and it doesn't matter.
Like Jeff Goldblum. It's like they didn't stop to think if they should. They just were focused on, can we do this? Not like, is this a good idea?
John's going to miss all the movie quotes. He's seen maybe two movies in the last 30 years.
Drew has a movie review channel.
That's true. Awesome. We just uploaded a commentary track. Shameless plug.
See, Brian, we need a movie channel. Let's just fucking do everything Drew does and just out-drew him in 10 years.
Out-drew him?
I'm okay with
you. You almost said something else.
Out-drew him in 10 years.
Page gaming, front page talk.
What I want from Samsung?
Food.
I want a slapstick phone, like a slap bracelet phone.
Oh, yes, a slap bracelet phone.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm all for it.
That's what they're working towards. That's their master plan. Yeah.
I mean, like, using a phone with one hand kind of ruins a bunch of features, but who cares? Just as long as you can make it.
To watch a video, you have to rotate your wrist. You have to look at your wrist to watch a video.
You have to follow the person on the screen.
It's immediately like, hey, we don't need cameras anymore. Let's just get rid of those.
That's what all those renders of the Apple Watch look like before it came out. Everyone was like, this is the Apple Watch. Yeah. It's like all curved around someone's wrist.
Yeah. I loved that the Apple Watch basically had like no... accurate leak. Like, before the Apple Watch dropped, no one guessed it right. There was no one who got it right. And I'm like, we're probably never going to have that again. Like, a moment where it's like, we actually saw the way it looked at the event.
Yeah.
That never happens anymore. We know what everything looks like.
Did it happen with the Mac Pro?
The trash can one?
Yeah.
I think it happened. I think we had accurate ones. What's that one?
Did it got
following
leaked?
Tech as much back then. Maybe it did get leaked. I'm not sure.
Yeah. You know what I
if
you
so,
know what I missed?
I don't know.
What do you miss?
I miss back in the day, just a few years ago, when like you didn't see the next iPhone 6 months before they launched it. I miss those days because then you had those crazy concepts in YouTube videos like, the next iPhone has a holographic keyboard that shoots out on the desk and shoots fire.
I love that one.
It was way better. It was way better speculation there. But now we know it's less cool.
The days when the new Xbox would be coming out, it's like, this is the Xbox 900, and it's an orb that hovers on your TV stand.
Yeah,
like that's the shit I like.
Xbox 720.
Oh man,
exactly.
Yeah, that 720. One. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I feel like Apple's doing it on purpose because when you have people bullshitting and they're like, oh, the phone's gonna shoot a holographic keyboard out, it's gonna be a Mac Pro inside of a phone, it's gonna be crazy, it's the future, then people's expectations are up here, and then Apple announces a phone and then everyone's like, well, fuck, now I'm disappointed, why did you ruin this, Apple, this is your
fault.
That's
true,
even though it's totally not Apple's fault.
Yeah, they gotta set them low, even though there were those reports that they're trying to like crack down on leaks. I was like, aren't the leaks, good. Like that's
isn't that's
that helping
what
you,
you would say though if you were also leaking your own shit?
Maybe. There you go. It's like, oh no, so many people are too excited. We need to stop all of it. By the way, there's a leaked image. Auto-cat file.
Just, so exactly. Just put this on CNET. No one will see it on CNET.
The part you know this more than anyone, John. The problem is like the next year's updates are so predictable at this point. You don't even have to have a leak. It doesn't take a genius to be like,
that's how I get
next
all my
year,
predictions,
make
right?
A bigger tip.
I just say what they did 3 years ago.
Yeah, it's just going to be like, oh, they made a 5.8-inch OLED iPhone. Next one will be bigger. It's not a giant guess. Like you didn't need AutoCAD files to be leaked for that. Leaks come out and it's like, yeah, it's exactly what we thought.
Okay.
So this is a great question. Go ahead. Do you got something?
Oh, I'm gonna jump on Drew's dick here in a second. Not in a good way either.
Okay, do it after. This is a kind of a Drew question, so maybe it'll flow.
Okay, I'm ready. He's
Zach
ready.
Talks Tech just sent us $100 in Canadian money.
Oh, fucking $100. Zach, come on, man.
Monopoly money. He says, question for Drew. Did the Lewis Rossman video play any part in how you're approaching videos and your content now? I feel like your content has been holding back since that retort from him. Rossman was a dick in that video. Glad we could meet earlier this week.
Here we fucking go, man. Yes, juicy stuff happened on Recycle Bin. This is what I'm talking about.
Great
Rossman
question.
Talk. Going back to that again. So like what do you you guys
Wait,
this
real
is
quick
your
is this
you
like your
first
is this your first public response?
No, this is like my ninth. Okay.
God damn it. Why'd you take that away from us?
My first on another channel. How about
okay,
that?
Okay, I'll take it.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
So may I can go now? That's good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is your turn. Okay.
Cool. So basically what it did when I first started watching it was I realized that when you treat a dialogue like that and you go into a conversation, because clearly I was wrong on certain things. And in my response video, I absolutely agreed. You are way more knowledgeable on this. I do not know as much as you do. My response was more to channels that were watching the lock. Room, like there's courtroom files coming out saying Apple knew such and such. That's the only reason we were talking about it again. And I was saying that there's all these YouTubers out there that basically grabbed their iPhone 6, bent them, and then said Apple knew this would happen. I wasn't watching phone repair guy is seeing slight bending over time, which is causing the CPUs to be dislodged. I'm like, I'm not responding to that. I'm responding to channels going, Apple, what's wrong with you? It's like,
right.
I was saying that's silly. So if you come at it from this is a different side of the story Drew doesn't know about and critique him on that side of the story, yeah, I'm very ill-knowledgeable. But if you come at it from shut your mouth, you have no right to speak on this subject because you are not me, because you do not do what I do, it means that your gate for your audience goes wide open and says, oh, our creator said this, we can say anything now. So it just basically sent ocean waves, because we've been called out by other tech channels before, big ones. You get a wave of comments that are just hateful no matter what their intention was.
I can't think of anyone else who called you out on anything.
That's true. I'm lying again. Sorry. Yeah. But either way.
Definitely not us.
Big old audience. Big old, excuse me. You're making me cough.
Are you going to die live on the stream? Fuck yeah. Let's get the views.
Dude, Drew Depp live on stream. You heard it here first.
I've told all my friends I want to stream my death, and I can title it "Stream Till I Die." Anyway, I want to show like when you open up those gates, because I think Roberto Blake talked about this on Twitter one time. He was like, a lot of YouTubers take that like, "Oh, my fans are bad. Sorry, you know what can I do?" Yeah. But you kind of set the example in your content for how you handle the situation, and when you open up that's okay to treat people like that or talk to them like that, they're going to take that and duplicate it, multiply it, go higher, go further. Right. And it made my comment section completely useless. Like I can't turn off the comments because I need to know what I need to improve on. I need to know what I need to
do better on. It's just a green light to, when the creator themselves does that, it's just a green light for everyone else to, it's like, yeah, it's okay to call them a bunch of names.
Right. And I wasn't trying to say like, he's completely wrong. He's a complete jerk. I know he's not. And he's a very well-knowledge guy and he's got a great channel and he's captivated a great audience. Like he's been good with that. But when you open up the gates, like I said, yeah, it makes growth or learning, as he even said in his video, I hope you learn something, very difficult when everyone's response is just kill yourself. It's like, how are we learning from this? You know, I would love to sit down and have a discussion about it. And full disclosure, not Rossman himself, but someone who worked with him or works for him emailed me from his business and said, hey, could we have a discussion? Can we invite you out here and show you around our office space and teach you how this works? And I was like, I appreciate the offer and thank you for being so kind to offer that. But anytime I am going to show my face on your channel, my job's just going to get a billion times harder. So I think it's better that I don't do that. And I just step back, because there's been a lot of people who have been like, Drew, react to Dave Lee's most recent video, react to this guy's video, who's like, iOS user switches to Android, here's what he found. And they're like, react to this, react to this. And I've been like, all it really does is stir up the other's channel's audience and make them all come back at you. And that's not helpful. It's really just, it encourages what people expect you and me to do, which is just hate each other and they just want fight. So I'm like, if I can go on without reacting to a video, and usually I watch them and I'm like, oh, that's a good point. Yeah, that's not a good point. Okay.
I mean, that's why, like, we're here in the first place, is because you reacted to the video Brian and I did about the iPhone X and Apple sucking now and all that stuff.
Right. And for the record, not my idea. My ex-editor watched it and hated it and was like, Drew, you have to react to this. And because that day I had nothing else.
And clarification, he didn't like me, right? He was not a fan.
I think he still does.
Understandable.
This day. Like I started talking to you and getting to know you better. And I was like, John's not a bad guy. Like, we actually agree on quite a lot. And he's still like, oh, but he said this about the iPhone. And I can't stand that he said... You know, it didn't.
That's half the people.
Either way,
me, honestly, yeah.
Sorry, let me make sure I answered Zach's question. Yeah, it definitely changed the way I make my content. Not necessarily in holding back, but just like, let's try to reach my audience primarily, and like not get big on YouTube just by going after other people.
So are you going to be less combative? Yeah, you're wrong. Are you going to be less combative moving forward, or? You're just gonna stay
maybe not course. Permanently. I'd say for now, I would like to just relax and just kind of go back to just making stuff that I'm interested in. Yeah. And for the record, I don't want my incentive to making a video be this will get a bunch of views. There's always part of that, but at the same time, you don't want to be like, I'm going to get a bunch of views, but I'll also get a bunch of hate. But at least it's publicity.
Yeah.
As long as it's publicity, right. That's all that matters. It's like, that's okay. I'd rather just focus on what my audience likes and what I'm interested in. And that's important to me in my daily job. Cause I took a vacation recently just cause I was getting so tired of the tech genre. And I was like, let's just make it interesting as possible and not burn out on it.
Right. I have something I would like to bring up.
Oh, sure. Boy.
Yeah. Well, there's actually a couple things, but
is this where the stabbing comes in?
Yeah. This is the part where I stab him.
A2, so, John.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a discussion for all three of us. I think Brian and I are likely to lean towards one direction, and Drew, I know, is leaning towards the opposite. IGTV. IGTV.
I love this topic. Everyone in my life hates me because they're like, Drew, stop talking about IGTV. I love talking about this.
So for clarification, I think it's going to do really fucking well. I'm really excited for IGTV. I have a different perspective, and I look at it differently, and I think that's where the disconnect is. Brian, what about you? Any feelings, any feels for IGTV?
I think it has its place. It's certainly, like, filling a niche, you know? I wasn't
but not
as
a YouTube
positive
competitor.
On it before.
Yes?
No. It's a definite, like, the little wedge fitting right in the pie. It's like, whoop, right next to YouTube and Twitch and, like, all the other media. You know, it's right there.
It's a very tiny wedge, but it's there.
It is. It has a wedge.
I'm bringing this up to Drew because I've seen multiple times he's tweeted about it. We got in a little tiff on Twitter about it, about how, is tiff a word? Did I just say a noise?
Yeah. You're a good man.
Yeah.
Okay. Because Drew, it wasn't even just his perspective. Like, I agree with Drew. This is not a YouTube competitor. Instagram wants it to be a YouTube competitor, but it's really fucking not. It'll never be.
No.
Yeah. Right.
But Drew seemingly refuses to post content on there because he's not getting money, because it's not monetized right now. And a lot of people took that as Drew only cares about money. Yeah, Drew only cares about, I'm surface level, Drew. Everyone was like, wow, Drew only cares about money. Fuck you, Drew, you fucking money hugger. I sort of understand where he's coming from, but Drew, your perspective on IGTV.
So I agree on the element that it is here to stay. I don't think it's going to die out. I don't think it's going to, nothing Instagram does really dies off. Everything Instagram does catches on to some audience to some extent. And I understand everyone saying it is not a YouTube competitor because it is completely different type of content. The problem is, like I said in my more recent video, it is, it's just a terrible one. As in half, like 70% of YouTube could not make the same content on IGTV. No matter how differently they film their content, they just can't. There's just
the problem. The problem was Instagram in their press conference saying, basically, indirectly and directly, that this is a YouTube competitor.
They used their logo. They described their app. They basically did everything but say this is better than YouTube. So you kind of, I agree. No, it's not a threat to YouTube. I think that's what more people are meaning when they say it's not a YouTube competitor. It is, both on the sense of where edited content is uploaded and where, more importantly, where advertisers go with their ads. They want to put ads on the sites that they think people are on the most often. And in that way, it is a competitor. It's not a great one, but it is a competitor. Like it's not going to work. YouTube's not in trouble. I wish they were in trouble, but that's what I'm more frustrated about with IGTV. It's fine. It's its own little like vertical. It can be more personal because it fills up more of the screen, whatever. That's fine. It's its own thing. It's basically stories, but now longer with a desktop uploader. And that's pretty much it. But my more argumentative stance is, did we really need that as the internet? Like, did we need another platform where you edit things differently? Because what I think we really need is an actual legitimate YouTube competitor that is a threat, because YouTube's got a lot of problems right now. They mess up a lot. But they can make, you know, sub boxes messed up. They can make your thumbnails messed up because they're not worried about anything. There's no threat. Right. There's no one coming into their field and saying, hey, we can do YouTube better. There's so few sites that have the potential to do that. You can bring up Twitch. You can bring up Vimeo. You can bring up, I don't know, Facebook, whatever. But all of those are either shrinking platforms or so small that they could not compare to the size of YouTube. Instagram was like one of the last remaining possible sites that could make something like that's a direct clone of YouTube. Instagram's great at cloning things. Why couldn't they do it on YouTube? Just be like, here's YouTube, got a desktop uploader. You can watch in horizontal. You've got a search section. You can look through stuff. It's just as good as YouTube, except our monetization. And I'm not just saying that. I want to be clear. It's not just me saying I want to make money, though that is important for a lot of people.
There's a specific
It's more
tweet.
Important that
There's a specific tweet.
I know which tweet you mean.
Of course you do. That I want to clear up for everybody. Okay, so this is what you tweeted. This is what caused a ruckus. From Talos of Tech on Twitter. Even as its own separate platform with tons of issues and hypocrisy in design, I've decided not to upload to IGTV until they tell us what the monetization policies are. For all we know, it could turn out that only work for users over 1 million followers. In that case, why bother?
Mm-hmm. So I understand the point of view of people saying, oh, Drew's not getting paid, so that therefore he doesn't care. Where I was, when I say monetization policy, that is not just from my point of view. That is you guys, the viewer. Ads are something you guys have to watch. Now, monetization policies, you may think it's going to be like YouTube, you know, like you get monetized, you don't get monetized. It could be like Twitch. We don't know. Facebook doesn't have a secure, like reliable ad format. You have to like get contacted by Facebook for it to work. We don't know how they're going to handle it. But on Twitch, at least, you cannot be an affiliate. You cannot be a partner. And they'll still put ads on your video just to support them. As in, even if you plan on putting ads on IGTV or you don't plan on monetizing, you'll just be like, oh, I just want views or I just want sponsorships, whatever. It could end up being 10-second ads before every video. This is an autoplay app. Stuff starts playing the second you open it. The actual app, as it's going to work day to day, we haven't seen yet. We don't know the info about. And I've said in my response video, it could be a very fair, very reasonable monetization policy that's great for viewers and creators. It could be. but we just don't know yet. And I'm not going to commit to it, or I'm not going to spend time on it, because so much of my day I'm working on tons of content I don't get paid for, but I'm passionate about it. I want to talk about movies. I want to review TV shows. And I don't get paid zip for that. And food. Yeah. All that passion. And I'm passionate about things I see a future in. In my video, I compared how YouTube is not anti-vertical. In fact, it's better at being a vertical media player than IGTV is, because there's no wasted space. You can watch videos while replying to comments, while looking at links and descriptions. IGTV has to cover
that's
up
one thing that fucking burns
content.
My dick off, dude. When I go to comment on a video and it just stops the video. Like, yes, that makes me not want to comment.
Right. And I have to ask myself, because I haven't seen a good response to this, why not let it be a YouTube clone? What's the disadvantage there? People are desperately on YouTube, like, where else can we go? We don't have a choice. We have to go here. We don't want to be here, but we have to be here. What's so bad about Instagram making a YouTube clone? We didn't care when they copied Snapchat. Everyone was fine with it, and everyone switched to it. Why couldn't they do that same thing with YouTube? It would have been fine. You could just, if you wanted the vertical exclusive stuff, make stories longer. It's the same thing. Just extend that and be like, okay, if you want to make money via stories, you can do that. It's longer now.
There had to be a thing.
They had to put their own gimmick. They had to put their own shtick on it. Unlike stories.
There had to be something.
But
there hasn't been a direct clone of YouTube that out YouTubed YouTube. It just doesn't work.
Well,
argument is
Twitch
like,
is attempted. They're smaller, so they can't. They can't compete.
Well, I also see Twitch as a whole different piece of the pie. Like, there's no competing there. But like, if there is a company that could, it's fucking Amazon. Amazon owning Twitch. The issue here is resources. Like, every competitor that has attempted to fight YouTube, we'll use the latest one, vid.me, which is funny because I said it was going to die, and literally 2 days later it died, and I got to go on the show and do one of those things that I do. But
one of those things.
Exactly.
Yeah, one of those things. But the issues with them is, like, they don't have the resources, right? They just don't. Like, they grew a little bit, and even a little bit was too much, and they couldn't sustain the platform. But
you need a giant company to make a YouTube clone. It can't just be some third party. It has to be a Facebook or an Amazon or an Apple.
And even
it has to be something huge.
We don't know how much money YouTube makes.
Not exactly.
We don't know.
Everything we're making, double it. That.
Yeah.
They get the other half, right?
I mean, but for all we know, they could be struggling.
They could
believe they're not making money.
Imagine
I believe they are losing.
Imagine the monthly costs of fucking hosting all this garbage.
Oh my god.
It's
yeah,
insane.
That's one thing no one talks
no,
about.
No, like think of how many sites allow you to upload. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, the territory, it's okay. The territory that comes with saying we're competing with YouTube. What are you saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's basically like you're seeing a giant and you're like, I'm gonna fuck you up, giant. Like, okay.
Right.
Well, go ahead and
you're messing
with how.
You're absolutely messing with fire. But like, think of how many sites out there let you have unlimited uploads that are up to 8K, 4K at 60. And you can upload as much as you want for free.
That's
doesn't
insane.
Matter what,
yeah.
Any channel name. And despite, I think the monetization rules are a lot harder than they should be, but still.
Absolutely not.
How much
Another
money
place we disagree. Absolutely not hard.
Right. Yeah, you know, it should be hard.
Go ahead.
Actually, no, I take that back. Let me
clarify. We can change topics?
Wait,
we can do whatever we want. Fuck it. Who cares? We don't have a job. This isn't a real job.
Yeah.
No.
They should be hard, dude. They should be hard. Because these, I feel like smaller, you don't fucking count. I see your perspective you have a channel that's up here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're pissed because YouTube takes a while to monetize the rest of your channels, right? Because you already did the thing.
Well, not just mine. I'm talking about other people I know personally in my life that wanted to make their own stuff.
If there's an issue where if you do meet the requirements and YouTube takes too long, that's a good thing to be pissed at YouTube about.
That's what I'm talking about specifically.
Yeah.
The rules themselves I'm mild about, but I'm talking about like telling people it'll be confirmed within a week and then taking 4 months. I'm upset about that.
That happened with you. My issue is with smaller creators being fucking bitches and feeling entitled to money because they made a thing.
Oh,
I uploaded a video. Why don't I get money, YouTube? Like, fuck you, whoever you are, smaller creator, Jimbo, stupid asshole. You get to upload videos for free on the second largest website on the planet. You have access to everybody, and you're over there being a little bitch because you don't get $20 a month. Shut the fuck up.
Did you make a video on
that? Well, and I'm also...
On Twitter, yeah.
Okay.
I'm also talking monetization as in the rules they put on who does and doesn't get monetized based upon the content. I don't think makes sense. I do it. I follow the rules and my policy.
You have to follow the rules.
We were following it before they existed. Like when Talosive started, we were like no cursing, no language or no controversies or violence and stuff like that. Like the new rules, we were like, oh, great. We're already in. We don't have to change anything. But I don't think other media sites have to follow those rules. I think they're too hard on that. I like the news, like TV doesn't have to follow that. Why should we? Like, what? I don't get it. There's so many channels I watch that are allowed to curse and say whatever they want, whether it's news or violence. It's just...
I put that on the brand.
There were a couple of instances that were crossing the line, I'll admit, but they overpunished. They went
too
far.
What would you say crossing the line is? Like dead guy in the forest or...
Yes.
ISIS videos.
Yes. There were literal people, like there were white supremacist racists on the platform.
Yeah.
That's a problem. Yes. You don't want to pay those people. I get it. But to go that far and say like, oh, there's racists, let's not allow language anymore. Like, if you curse now, fuck. That's not okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, you're punishing all the wrong people. And I think more recently, a month ago or something, people found out there were still like supremacy channels still getting paid and stuff. And I was like, this happened for nothing.
Yeah. It's just like, this one guy in particular hates black people. Oh yeah. Everyone else, you can't say fuck. Don't say fuck. Bad news.
I mean, we all know that YouTube operates under the understanding that as the bigger you get, the looser the rules are with you, right? Like, that's kind of that's becoming general knowledge.
To a certain size. If you get into the millions, but not like 100K,
It's like, if we showed a dead guy hanging in the forest, channel terminated, out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know
what's funny about that whole Logan Paul situation was that YouTube never took down the vlog. Logan took down the vlog, and yet anyone who Logan re-uploaded the vlog, they got it taken down by YouTube.
Yeah,
YouTube took down the re-uploads, but not the original.
It was on trending.
They have to pick it to be on trending. Nothing goes to trending automatically.
No.
Uh-oh.
It's all automatically generated and picked by the algorithm, Drew.
Hell no. Where's the content cops on trending then?
I'm with you. But the official words from YouTube is, definitely just happens because of the algorithm.
I'm fairly confident YouTube will say we're running a small experiment every time there's a glitch. Every time something goes wrong, they're like, oh, that was an experiment. We meant to do that. That was intentional.
It failed.
Yeah, dude. Anyway, we were talking about IGTV. I hope we didn't abandon that too soon.
Yeah, okay. So you are not going to use IGTV until they get, or even if it was monetized, would you use it at all? Are you just totally against?
Depends on the rules. Currently? Like what if it turns out to be like IGTV has unskippable 30-second ads the second you open the app? But now I don't want to publish to it. It's like, I don't, that sounds like a terrible site.
I get that. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you assuming that the people who don't feel like turning their phone are going to put up with 30-second ads?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, like so just, there is a disconnect there. Like with Front Page Tech, we upload a video, it's a daily show, your expectations are set, you know how long the show is, if you have to sit through a 30-second ad, whatever. On IGTV, though, I can see what you're saying, because at least from where I'm coming from, I think I look at it as like a totally new opportunity to show a different side of you, make more personal
content.
And I don't think that personal content, if it's 2 to 3 minutes long, you should be forced to sit through a 30-second ad or like Facebook does it. See, Facebook is a motherfucker because Facebook, they have to have the video autoplay, right? Because as you're scrolling, you don't go to Facebook to watch videos. So what they do is you scroll. It starts auto-playing a video, and once you just see like 5 seconds of it, and then you decide, okay, maybe I'll stick around. And as soon as you start watching it, fucking mid-roll ad on Facebook,
right?
Assholes,
right.
And right in the middle of everything.
When people I saw people saying, when I upload to IGTV, I get a lot of views, and it's like, well, it's because no one clicked on it. It's like an auto; it just starts playing now. which means that like the views I don't think are going to be as genuine or as engaged as audiences are going to be on YouTube. Like somehow Instagram made me think, hey, YouTube's designed pretty well graphically. It's like the mobile app makes so much sense. You know, I open it, nothing's jumping in my face. There's no ads immediately. I've got, you know, like, well, for now, I've got subscriptions. I got trending. I can watch a video and look at the description at the same time. I can look at the comments and there's
you
no
can comment
big black
without
bars
everything
anywhere.
Shitting its britches. Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to see. A lot of people were saying IGTV is more personal. I'm like, how? I can't reply to comments and watch a video at the same time. I feel like that's more engaging, right?
I think when I say more personal, I think it's from like the relationship between creator and viewer. I just don't know how somebody that is completely unknown jumps on IGTV and becomes successful. I think it's a really good platform for existing creators that want another outlet to talk. I think that's
well,
great.
So John, do you think
it's more
on Instagram?
Yeah, there is. Yes. Yeah. They have that over Snapchat.
Keep in mind
that
literally when you open up IGTV, it's showing you shit. It's the For You tab on IGTV, and there's a good portion of that stuff that you're not actually following. It's literally just the algorithm saying, exactly. Hey, I think you would like this. And I kind of, like that. I like Spotify doing that. Mm-hmm. I pay for Spotify specifically. For Discover Weekly. That's the feature that I can't get away from. It's just like, here's stuff that you've never heard before that we think you like. And I think I think that's a really good thing for IGTV to do. I gotta see more from it and see what they offer and see if they...
They have a lot of proving
of themselves to do to everybody else.
Right, and I could totally see it. Could it be banners? You know, YouTube has little things that show up on the top, in which case some of the content we might have to design differently. What if you're all uploading your vertical vlogs and then you find out a banner's covering up your text every time
I think I prefer a 10, 20 second ad in between videos that you watch.
Right.
Kind of
basically what I had on Twitter
or something.
Yes. There's ads on stories. I see the super chat there about it, but I'm saying that stories is 10 second content. This is technically up to 1 hour content. I don't expect ads to be identical. I think the ad policy may change. Maybe it won't. If it doesn't, great. I'd be interested in making content for it. Right. But until I know, I'm not passionate about it just from a point of, hey, vertical's different. I'll try that. That's not enough. Right.
This is the thing for you, Drew, because I say this often. When people are like, they wish for a YouTube competitor, that just someone needs to come in and just be YouTube better. The common thing that I say if there was another competitor that some company made that was specifically direct competition to YouTube, and let's just say it's successful and you have creators jumping ship, they're moving. Well, what you're going to experience there is the creators jump ship, because the creators jump ship, the audience jumps ship. And then on that other platform, you end up with the same creators, the same viewers. And when the viewers are there, then you're going to have the brands jump ship and you're going to end up with the same brands on that other platform. And you're going to have all the same problems. I feel like if you have, it's the brands that, I mean, YouTube is very, very reliant on these brands. And the brands are the ones that are disconnected and don't understand new media. Once we have another platform, I feel like if it is somewhat successful and people move, the problems are going to move with it, and we're gonna end up with the same problem. And it's just gonna be how that brand handles it, how that competitor handles the same problems. Because I don't think there's any way around.
Partially,
yeah.
Go ahead. I think there's definite things that an Amazon owned company would do differently than a Google owned company. There's some fundamental differences YouTube would have with a competitor that I think there's easily, but advertisers aside, you're right. They could bring a lot of the same monetization problems with them, but the, hey, let's mess with the sub feed. Hey, let's just make a monthly subscription and not give any of it back to the creators. That's, I bring this up a lot. Twitch is awesome. They've got their own built-in like currency that you can earn yourself. People can donate to you for free. If you have Amazon Prime, you can sub with Twitch Prime. You instantly get free money. It costs them nothing, and you get paid.
It's also not the same. It's all that money is not being generated from Twitch. And Amazon's pulling in resources that they have elsewhere. That's why Twitch Prime is a thing. It's tied into Amazon Prime.
YouTube Premium costs more than Amazon Prime. It's $12 a month. Amazon Prime equates to $10. So they have more, they're raking in more money per month than Amazon. And yet you don't have that free sub a month that says, I want to sponsor this creator. I like this guy. Yeah. I have YouTube Red. I want to send a couple bucks his way at no extra cost.
Well,
why is so that so difficult?
Well, okay. So YouTube tried to do a different, YouTube Premium exists for a different reason. It's
originals. I mean, they want to compete with Netflix.
That's the issue. That is the issue.
Why do they want to compete with Netflix? Like, this is not, that's not an advertiser problem, right? That is a YouTube not knowing how to use money problem. Sometimes they make originals. Sometimes they make the slow-mo guy. It's just an original. It's not even exclusive to premium.
The slow-mo guys, the slow-mo show is a good show. That is a good show.
I mean, it's fine. It's a fine show. I watched it. I'm just saying it's an original. It's not even an exclusive. This is what you get if you buy YouTube. They just said, hey, you have a 10 million subscriber channel. Let's make a show. With all this money people are donating to YouTube, get rid of ads.
My issue is with YouTube looking at somebody popular on YouTube and being like, oh, you could probably be an actor. We'll make a movie with you. Like, it's not the fucking same thing.
No.
Dude, the partnerships they choose, the YouTubers they decide to make originals with, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
This is a, that is a, Google is a site based on, in a company based on, we know what's best. We're going to try a billion things and do a couple of them. And I think Amazon is definitely customer first, user request. They make their decisions based upon what people ask for. I love Amazon customer service. They've done great. And I think on Twitch, they've heavily listened to their users. They've made stuff that helps creators. They've not been like, Twitch is great. Pay for Twitch Plus and we'll make a Spotify competitor and we'll make a Netflix competitor.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't need you doing that. Just focus on the creators. That's what Twitch did. And I wish we had some other company in charge of the site like YouTube that could say, we're going to use this money you're giving us to get rid of ads and to have a couple extra features to support back into, you know, the actual
Dude, with Xander back there without any shoes on, looks like a fucking slave that he just got out of his chains and he came over here.
Go back to your cell. I told you.
I just need a fan,
all my
sir.
Fan base.
You can eat later.
He needs a fan base, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, IGTV. Well, okay, so to be specific.
Yeah, anyway.
I worked with... fuck it, who cares?
Oh, boy, here we go.
I worked with Amazon.
Here we go.
Yes.
I am loose from my chains from Amazon. Right. So I can say... what can I say? I was in... I heard...
Easy now.
Was I partook in meetings and phone calls about...
We're going to get sued.
A competitor, you know. You know what I mean? Are you picking up what I'm throwing down? True?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so ahead. I have overheard things that they said about a potential, if they were to hypothetically make a website that you could put videos on as a creator. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like YouTube, but not YouTube, and definitely not owned by Amazon. Absolutely not.
No.
And I can tell you that this said company... has zero fucking clue.
Yeah.
Absolute zero clue. Like, Twitch, mm-hmm. I'm so thankful for that it existed before Amazon got it. I'm glad that Amazon didn't just make it. Because
into the ground.
Right.
Yeah, Amazon is fucking clueless. I will tell you that.
Right.
Fucking clueless. So, there will be something from a company that rhymes with Camazon... that will exist in a year, two or three. There will be a thing, but I'm afraid for it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Twitch,
I think
Twitch
you
I'm
have
not
right
afraid
to
for.
Be.
What I know and what I've heard from Camazon. I'm worried. Yeah.
Just say eBay.
From eBay, yeah. Brian, is there anything in the chat? I have one more topic that we got to definitely cover in the show. Is there anything in the chat that we should jump into?
All right, well, people have been discussing what we've been talking about, so let me see if I can find a little tidbit for us.
A little tidbit.
But before you move on, one last point.
There you go.
Even if there's a competitor to YouTube that's not as good, just the fact that there is competition could scare YouTube into thinking before they act.
I mean, competition is good for everybody, right?
Exactly. I love Samsung for pushing the bar. Even if I don't love their phones, they're encouraging the competition to work harder. YouTube needs that. Okay. That's helpful.
Yeah. Somehow the foldable shit phone from Samsung will benefit Apple customers someday.
somehow, no, like, think about it, really. Like, the curved displays, right? They have OLED. They're like, hey, we can make curved screens. Everyone is kind of like, okay, great. Then Apple saw that and said, we're going to curve our OLED display at the bottom of the iPhone X so we can have this unique design that no one else has been able to replicate. So it's worked out. Exactly.
No one being able to replicate. Everyone on this goddamn planet has a notch. I mean, the bottom half they can't replicate.
Not the notch. I'm talking about the
all day. There's no Face ID in it. It's just like a camera and an earpiece, but the notch is definitely there.
No, I was definitely not referring to the notch. I meant the same size bezel at the bottom and the sides. Yeah.
I saw somebody on the show, on one of the episodes. It was a comment that I saw last night on one of the episodes from the past, I don't know, 700 episodes. Mm-hmm. And someone said it was about a phone, an Android device having a notch on it. And someone said, fuck Apple for doing this.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
No.
Who do you not?
Yeah. Don't blame Apple. Fuck all the short-sighted.
Everyone but Samsung.
Right.
Yeah. Fuck all the short-sighted Android OEMs that just go, and notch? Yeah, okay. We'll put
notch
it there.
Anybody?
Yeah. Fuck them. Not.
I applaud Samsung for. Yeah. I mean, Samsung does a lot of things wrong.
The last fucking outlaw.
I applaud them for being themselves. Yeah. They're being themselves, though. So, you know, they're sticking with the headphone jack. They're sticking with curved displays. They're not doing a notch. No matter what people say, they stick to their guns.
The S10's like, not going to have a headphone jack on it. S10's not going to have a headphone jack on it.
It lasted for a while. It was cute.
Okay.
They kept it around for a while. It's fine.
Kind of a Drew-centric question, but this is the Drew-centric episode.
Brian, let's just walk.
Oh, that's okay. You guys can answer stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Well, from Michael Ramos, why do you think Apple has completely forgotten the Mac Mini?
Doesn't sell well. It's pretty simple.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a like an outlier in the Apple ecosystem, right? Like,
yeah.
Same thing with the iPad Mini.
Such a massive company. God, yeah. Such a massive company. They can't be like, what was that guy's name?
Michael Ramos.
Well, Michael Ramos, that guy in particular, really likes Mac Mini. So let's make a million of them to make sure he gets his Mac Mini.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like the just computers as a whole, like the traditional computer as we know it, is dying. Like, who gives a fuck? Right. The average person, here you go, everybody, Viper. The average consumer does not give a single fuck. Can they do Twitter on this?
Desktops especially.
Yeah, can they do Twitter?
Yeah.
Yep. Like, can they do emails? Yep.
Laptops
can they talk
are
to their
barely
friends?
Sticking
yep.
around.
Yeah. This,
laptops
this,
are still kind of there. Desktops are like, what are you doing? Like, the reason they're not focusing on Mac Mini is too many people.
Right.
Yeah, they're all going for the iMac or going pre-built, custom-built PCs. You don't buy a Mac Mini.
The world is heading
anymore.
Mobile first, whether we like it or not. The average person can do everything they want on this thing. And it's with them all the time. It's in their pocket.
Sure. I want there to be an updated Mac Mini. It would be great if they updated it, gave it some good specs in Thunderbolt 3, and it was a good price, and it doesn't have a screen, so the prices are cheaper. That would be great. I'm not saying you're wrong to want that. I'm just saying Apple's a business, just like every other thing. They're going to focus on what does well. So that doesn't do well.
Right.
No, he's wrong to want that.
And it definitely feels like, I mean,
stop wanting things.
Feel free to disagree because you have probably a better viewpoint than us. But it feels like Apple is even skewing more mobile first, even in the software area. Like, not that Mac OS is being ignored, but it definitely is on the back burner.
Dude, credit. I will give all the credit in the world to Apple because, I mean, we heard those reports that they were going to merge iOS and Mac OS. And you know somebody at a conference table somewhere whispered that and it fucking leaked immediately. Right. And the internet fucking just went haywire. So credit to them for
literally
on stage
at the keynote,
saying
just,
no, not happening.
No.
That was great.
Yeah.
It was a whole meme. Because
you know they were thinking about it. You know the thought crossed their mind. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can see like how it could work.
No, I definitely know that just like I run my business, you got to focus on the things that pay the bills. And Mac OS, the last time they did a giant change, I don't remember which one it was. Was it Yosemite when they changed all
the
graphics
and
everything?
Dark mode. Major change.
Or dark mode. Yeah, this was actually pretty noticeable.
Everything is slightly darker.
For when they change things with Mac OS, they know that only professionals really or people who do work on them are using them anymore. People get mad. People are like, stop changing everything. So they're like, okay, we won't do much. We'll back exactly. off. We'll do slight, basic little updates. But with iOS, you know, every freaking year, everything Apple Pro is like, it's going to be a graphic change this time. Everything's going to change again, like iOS 7. It's like, no, you're going to get a couple of Android features and then you'll be happy. That's
everything Apple Pro is a bish. A bish.
Aww.
Yeah.
Don't say that. That's mission. Whatever, it's your channel.
Did.
Say whatever you want.
the opinions expressed here are not also Drew's.
Yeah.
I watch it.
So, as a whole, though, I talked about this with you, Drew, on the Talos of Tech podcast. You said you're like slightly disappointed in Apple for doing
this year.
What'd you say for not the things they are doing, but you're disappointed for the things they're not doing? Yes. What you said?
Exactly. There's a bunch of things they could have done this year that they haven't done that would have been better.
Whereas I am actually like really happy with them. Extremely happy with Apple. I feel they're
happy for what they've done or what they're going to do.
Right? Yeah, I'm very happy for what they're not doing. Number two, I'm happy for where they're headed in the future. And there was like my Nostradamus moment in January when I just said I feel like Apple's going to start like fixing things and getting their shit together, and Google's going to start tripping over themselves. By the way, I love Android. I wish Google wasn't shitting their own britches right now, but that they just are. And Apple is like, I feel like, I think I said this on Twitter. Take everything you think you know about Apple and the history that they have and throw it all out the fucking window. None of it matters. Like, yep. Just for this year and at least this year and potentially moving forward, take everything you think you know about Apple and fucking forget it. I don't want to hear any more about like, oh, but Apple's history dictates this and blah, 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 blah. We're not dealing with the same Apple this year. They have learned their lesson, and I feel like they genuinely got a reality check. iOS 7 came out and it was shit.
Right.
It was a shitbird. Every year after that, they were under so much pressure from competition that they just kept shoving as much as they possibly could into iOS. And as they did more and more problems accumulated. And this was the first year where they were like, okay, it's getting away from us and we're getting ourselves into a predicament. If we don't fix the shit now, it'll be a lost cause and we'll never be able to touch it. So they settled down. Sure. They were self-aware and they fixed all the shit in iOS, and it's refined and optimized. And iOS 12, even the beta version, is like twice as fast as the stable versions that we have right now.
right.
And that's what I really fucking, that's all I wanted. That's what I've wanted for years. Yeah. I keep saying I didn't leave the iPhone. I left iOS. If they fix iOS, your boy is headed right back to the farm. So with that said, different Apple attacking the market in a different way this year. 6.1 inch iPhone.
Round the back.
6.1 inch iPhone 9. We disagree on this.
I'm so glad that we even speculated a name
I'm sticking with because I'm tired of saying 6.1 inch LCD 2018 iPhone.
It's getting good. Let's clarify, the things you like that they're doing are not the things I don't like that they're doing. Those are separate.
You just wanted more.
Yeah, like I'm fine that iOS 12 is just a perfection OS. Then they're trying to make things right. I'm fine with that. No problem. I'm saying things like updating their MacBooks with better keyboards and iMacs and better CPUs that have come out already. They didn't do that. They could have done it by now. They haven't.
Yeah.
They were already behind the game.
But the free fix your keyboard program.
Yeah, that's good. I'm happy about that. That's great. Yeah, I was like, but the 2018 iPad, they were like, hey, we're having an event, but you can't watch it. And then here's this iPad, and basically the only change is that it now works with our $100 stylus we haven't changed since 2015. I'm like, this is a hypocritical product release. They would have been better off releasing the... For education, what do the kids need the Apple Pencils for? They're going to lose all their caps. Like, redesign the pencil first.
Drew, it's not school.
It's got to be a pencil. I mean, like, I know for a fact, my parents are both teachers, and they use a lot of iPads and Chromebooks at their school. They know that they're required to have laptops with keyboards in order to do a lot of state testing, which iPads legally are not allowed to do. So it's just, you're kind of screwed if you do, screwed if you don't. You could have made an iPad that is just budget, and I think they would have been better off just selling the iPad Pro from 2016 for $400 because it's got the laminated display, the stereo speakers, the better camera, and it would have been cheaper overall than buying 2018 iPad and Apple Pencil, which is together $430. I was like, this is just it's nothing wrong exactly with the product. It's not like it's exploding or sending texts to people, but it's just an unnecessary middle step.
Yeah,
just didn't need to be there. Yeah, it was an odd move they didn't need to do. That's all I was complaining about.
So I want to clarify this first with Brian, and then I'll head to Drew. Uh-oh. Because I know Drew disagrees. Okay, so Brian.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
We talked about the 6.1-inch LCD iPhone, the iPhone 9.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
We talked about it on a couple episodes ago, right? We did the thing.
Yeah.
And you disagree with me on the side of the Apple consumer is not the average consumer. And people keep bringing that up. That Brian said this. So
if I remember correctly, because this was a couple weeks ago, because it was the last recycle bin.
Yeah.
I was doing a bad job articulating my point, but what I was trying to say is the Apple consumer is the average consumer that's striving to be above average, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Like, it's like they're looking through to, like, the grass is greener side with the Apple products. You know what I mean? They have a taste for more premium devices. So
but would you agree? My claims of the iPhone, I'm going to try to call it the iPhone 9. The iPhone 9 outselling the other models this year, do you agree? Do you disagree?
I 100% agree. Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I'm glad we clarified that because I don't want to hear about it anymore. So Brian agrees.
Okay, I do. Yeah, I do. But I want to just, I agree because that just opens the gate for more less than average consumers or whatever you want to call them to join the Apple ecosystem and then become like what you can construe as the Apple elite. You know what I mean?
That's that. Okay. Like, so like, I feel like the issue with this phone is that early on, right, the reports were this is the budget iPhone. And that B word is a bad word when you put it with Apple. Like, this shouldn't be looked at as a budget phone. And that's where I think the argument of, no one would buy a budget iPhone and that's totally right. This is not a budget. If you consider $700 or $750 budget, that's that's your thing. That's fine. Right. But
it's a budget iPhone,
right? Comparatively you with your $200 Android devices, $700 is not budget. I'm looking at this as a way of Apple, and they're purposely doing this. I don't think it's any like. I don't think there's any argument going in among Apple employees about which one's going to sell the best. I think this is a purpose business move of attacking the market in a way they haven't before, because smartphone usage as a whole is sort of declining. Not usage, upgrade cycles is what I mean.
There you go. Sales, yeah.
Yeah.
They're lower.
And we're not at the peak, but like we're getting there. We're getting burnt out. And there's, especially when you have 8 million Android devices that launched during the year, and it's just that side of the garden is a mess. The Apple side, the walled side, is a different story. And I feel like this is the first time Apple in years that Apple is targeting the market in such an aggressive way that they're aiming to convert people this time.
Okay.
Like that is a goal. So, Drew, do you don't agree that the iPhone 9 outsells the other one?
No, I think we're getting confused on our definitions because I've talked with you about this subject very times, and I've openly said many times you could be right. I'm not completely agreeing that you're absolutely wrong. It has to be the 10 Plus.
But your opinion is that the iPhone 10 Plus is the top-selling model.
At first. My prediction, because it goes either way. Like, listen.
I'm listening. No, I'm like,
okay, yeah. Like, there's people saying in the chat, and I'm about to upload a video about this. iPhone 8 in the month of May outsold iPhone 10. You know that. You made a whole video on that.
I do. Like, I do know that.
That is in the month of May. That does not the month of November or December. I'm saying the people who buy the iPhone at launch, you know, those Apple Core users you talk about, because I do think a large majority of Apple's users could be considered average, given iPhones outnumber Androids in many countries. Like, it depends on your definition of what average is. It could depend on what is the most popular to buy or what is the most affordable to buy, depending on where you are in the world. It could kind of be taken a lot of different ways, but I'm saying
I'm never calling Apple products average products. I'm calling the people.
No, I'm talking about customers. Like,
there's just so many Apple customers that we're fucking naive to think they're all like us. They're not. They're not watching YouTube videos.
I'm not saying that.
They're not subscribed to Talos of Tech.
I'm saying that the results can depend. Like, my argument is that when the 10 Plus and 9 come out, I think the 10 Plus will sell better because that's when all the core Apple base, the people on the iPhone upgrade program, that's when they're all getting a new iPhone. They don't want a single lens. They don't want to lose 3D touch. That's absolutely the biggest one. Right. And then later down the road, May 2019, April 2019, then absolutely I could see the 9 outselling the 10 Plus because all the people who wanted it got it already. And all the people who want the 9 are not run out to the store day one. They're like, oh, my cycle's up. I'll get a 9 now.
Well, that's the way I see it going. Yeah. My argument is like, you just can't deny how massive the user base is with Apple. And like,
right.
Mm-hmm. It's so massive that they're like separated into segments in terms of like when the race starts, when someone fucking pulls the trigger, poof, and everyone starts running. The initial core Apple customers, the ones that are watching the YouTube videos and that are really, really excited and are just waiting for it.
No,
they are going to jump on. I'm saying like major, like heavy duty core Apple customers that just, this is what they fucking live for, are going to jump on. And they're going to buy, at the beginning of the race, they're sprinting. And they're going to buy most likely the iPhone 10 Plus. I feel really, really bad for that 5.8-inch like follow-up iPhone 10, because why? Like, it's going to be the same thing as the thing.
I think it might surprise you.
Really?
Honestly, I do. Yeah, I know it's not random because we're following techie people, but I expected when I did my like Twitter poll that I just random, like not random, but you know, a bunch of my audience, I was like, which iPhone are you going to buy if you buy one this year? I expected the 5.8 inch 10 to be like 0%, 1%. Who wants that? It was second place. Like, at least in the tech community, people online, a bunch of people were like, no, yeah, I want the 5.8 inch OLED with just a better CPU. I don't know why. I just get, why?
You just pointed it out. The people that even know there's a better CPU or what the fuck a CPU is.
Right. They know exactly what the 9 will be lacking. So in the tech community, at least, I don't think the 9 will be exactly.
Absolutely not.
If 9 is long-term success. Success in 2019, not 2018. Yeah.
If it was like, if the Apple customer base was just only the people that follow Talos of Tech on Twitter, of course, like, the iPhone 9 sells two units and the iPhone 10 Plus sells a bunch and then maybe the 5.8 inch. But in yesterday's episode, I tried to clarify as best as I could. There's a difference between the sprint and the whole race, because the people that are going to jump on and buy these products are going to be the people that upgrade when Apple releases a phone. And those aren't the majority of the people. The majority of people upgrade when it's convenient to them, when they have an upgrade on their plan or when they need a phone. And that happens continually throughout the year. The average consumer, those are the people, the massive sales that happen throughout the rest of the year and the people that you aren't seeing line up in the front of Apple stores. And that's when...
That's why the 8 is outselling right now.
Yeah. Well, that's what I said on Twitter like months and months ago that I think the wordage I used was the LCD model is going to really creep up into like almost 100 million units in a year. It's just going to creep up.
Sure.
It'll be insane.
And I think that's fair.
Am I correctly understanding that you guys are agreeing right now?
Like, I was really like hoping for blood.
Okay, look.
Yeah.
All right. I'll play devil's advocate here. I'll push a little harder if you'd like.
Okay.
I would argue that the reason the iPhone 9 may not sell as well as you're expecting, again, I'm not trying to say you're absolutely wrong, but I'll say you're absolutely wrong for the sake of the stream, for the sake of Recycle Bin. I'll say that the iPhone 9 is competing with too many other categories. The 10 Plus is the same price as the last year's iPhone that outsold everyone until the later months, again, keeping that in mind. But I'm saying, are they going to discontinue the 8 Plus? Because in that case, I don't think the only reason people didn't buy the 10 was just because of the price. I think there were a lot of differentiating factors. I think a lot of people didn't like because of the notch. A lot of people don't like that. Gesture controls are too different. Some people hate Face
ID.
It's
too weird.
Some people prefer Touch ID. Too weird. So we had a lot of people that ended up going the 8 Plus or 8 route because they wanted something they knew they could rely on. And there's several ways to take the iPhone 8, outselling all the other smartphones halfway through their cycle, is you could say, well, people care about it being cheap, but you could also say people don't care about the notch, or people don't care about gestures. Yeah. People want Touch ID. People want a regular old LCD iPhone. They prefer that. And I feel like the iPhone 9 is going to be clashing. If they lower the 8 Plus as they usually lower iPhones, it will be the exact same price, $700, $700. So people are going to see dual camera, 3D touch, no notch, Touch ID versus notch, no Touch ID, one camera. You see what I'm saying? I'm saying the Pixel Bridge on the 8 Plus is actually higher. I'm not saying everyone will choose 8 Plus.
But have you seen the optics in the iPhone 9 just from a distance from the renders we're getting? It's not the same that we've had.
It's you mean the AutoCAD file?
He means the camera.
Yeah, the camera on the back, renders. According to renders and according to what we see, and literally every fucking report of it's a single lens camera also includes it's a totally different optic system. Like, this is a different lens that we're seeing.
That could definitely change
that
things
has
up.
Me curious. Oh, okay, so our source that we had from OtterBox, so we mentioned in yesterday's show that reached out to us, represents OtterBox. They had a whole thing about how they're preparing to distribute more accessories for the LCD model. But
everyone's expecting the 9.
Yeah. The end of that, though, was what was interesting to me. They said Apple has has more surprises for this model, but we can't say much. So what the fuck is Apple doing?
Colors.
That's the fucking surprise of you, really, and that's not a surprise anymore. But like,
okay, no, I'm kidding.
I honestly think that there's some Apple's doing this as a purpose business move to attack the market in a way they haven't before, and then they'll go back to being Apple again next year.
Sure, I think it's really interesting that this year, like usually, you've brought this up that the budget model is usually the smaller one or the old fashioned looking one. This is the first time the budget iPhone. It's still $700, but it looks very similar to the regular 10 or 11 and 11 Plus. They're very similar. There will be slight differences that some will notice, but not everyone. But again, I'm still holding on to that. There's nothing else like the 10 Plus. The 10 Plus is not competing with anything else. It's like giant battery. There could be software exclusives. We don't know yet. Probably horizontal support. Face ID may be better, but RAM is better. Stuff like that. It will have its own advantages. It's not clashing with any other iPhone. Yeah. Whereas that 9, while it's got great features and it may have some hidden surprises, is still, as even people in the chat have brought this up, they prefer the 8 Plus because they don't like Face ID. They don't want the notch. And there's a lot of advantages I think people care about with that 8 Plus, and they're going to be equally priced.
Yeah, but those are the headphone jack people. Those are the same people that bitched about the headphone jack going away. They're fucking going to just accept it and move on. That's what's going to happen because Apple said
Did you know that when the iPhone 8 dropped, the iPhone 7 outsold it that opening week? Yeah. Is like people saw the cheaper price went for it. Yeah. So I'm saying we might see a similar thing with the iPhone 9.
Well, especially though, because the iPhone 8 was like, or the iPhones, since the iPhone 6, the design has been relatively the same, at least the front panel. The same.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I think we sort of indirectly, and this is something that Brian cleared up for us because he fucking lived with average consumers in a Best Buy.
Yay.
I think we sort of indirectly answered the questions that I keep seeing lately of like, how come Samsung sales are so low with an iterative update with the S9, but Apple can pull out the same sort of thing and be fine. And I think we answered it here because the consumer base for Apple is so vast, and it's the average people that aren't readily accepting to adopting any sort of change. So that's why iterative updates for Apple work, because the average consumer just goes, give me the new iPhone. They don't know they don't want change scares them. And that's why for so long it was so scary to change the visuals of iOS because it would freak people out. Samsung, though, is the total opposite. Like there are average consumers that buy Samsung products, but I don't think that's the vast majority of Samsung people. And that's why when Samsung doesn't give a major update, everyone goes, huh, what? What the fuck?
Yeah, well, what you're missing with that is that Apple's user base is also fairly conditioned to, like, new iPhone every year. Bam, bam, yep. bam, bam, bam. Yep. You get kind of right. used to it. And Samsung has always been a very, like, I'm going to use this motherfucker into the ground. You know, like, it's not broken. Don't change it. Don't fix it. So it's just different audiences.
Okay, picture this, Brian. You don't work Front Page Tech. We failed. It's all dead. It all money's gone. Yeah, money's gone. Everything's gone. Drew owns the channel now. So that's the scenario.
Okay.
And now you go back to Best Buy. You work at a Best Buy.
Okay.
Yeah. And a fucking average 45-year-old woman walks in and she goes, "Okay, I want the new iPhone." Do you think you hand her the iPhone 9 and iPhone 10 follow-up or iPhone 10 Plus, and she goes, "Well, that one has an OLED display, and this one has an LCD, so I don't want the LCD one." Do you think there's anything going on in the head there of, like, differentiating
that
between those displays?
Would blow my mind. That would freak me out. I'd be like, holy shit, who are you?
Does the 45-year-old woman go, "Okay, what A chip is in that phone?"
No. I would be like, "Do you like the new look? Or do you want the old style? Like, are you afraid of, like, switching off of your 7 to go to an 8?" Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we go to the 9. It'd be like, you know, there's a better model. There's a 10.
Yeah.
And, like, whatever.
So I think average people are going to walk in there and they're not going to understand that, like, it's lower spec and it has an LCD display. And there's, like, several reasons why the price can be lower. They're just going to see, "Oh, it just has one camera and they were able to lower the price that much. That's fine. Give me that one."
And then, and you know what? All the people selling those phones, maybe with the exception of, like, the Apple store, will be like, "Yeah, there's really no reason for you to get that more expensive phone. Like, what are you going to do with two cameras? Two camera lenses."
Somebody's going to walk into the Genius Bar in Apple store and be like, "Hey, I want a new iPhone. Should I get the iPhone 9? I'm thinking about getting the iPhone 9. And the guy's going to be like, "I mean, okay, are you an Android user? You're switching. This is you switching. You're coming over here now. Yeah, $700, real cheap. Go ahead and buy it. Go ahead and buy it." I think that's the ultimate goal this year. Is to get
I personally think
iOS.
The situation you're describing, they would still go for the regular sized 8 or 8 Plus because they don't need all the bells and whistles. Or
the bells and whistles isn't the look. It just looks new.
Yeah, I would say it is. I would say having the bezel-less design and gesture controls and the notch and Face ID are, like, by the way, 10 still outselling at originally, not in May, but originally outsold in unit numbers everyone, including the 8 and 8 Plus. That was the more expensive option. With the 7 and 7 Plus, more people went with the 7 Plus.
Yeah.
And it look-wise looked very similar to the regular size 7. But the dual camera won it over. That won over a bunch of people. So I don't see why that same audiences wouldn't go for the dual camera here.
I would absolutely love to see the, like, no fucking reports, nothing. This will never happen. I would love Tim Cook to slide over a piece of paper and say, "Here's the unit sales." I would love to see
me too.
Because I'm confident that Apple has made a shit ton of money off of the iPhone 10, if you total all that up, because it's very expensive. But in terms of units, I'm confident that within the year of the iPhone 10 existing, or the first year and a half, the units are going to be outweighed by the iPhone 8, regardless of how much money the iPhone 10 made because of the price. I want Tim Cook just for once, Timmy. You're doing so much good for us right now. I would love to just print out one piece of paper and mail it. Just slide it over to me. I won't even tell anybody. I just want to see the thing.
Right.
I'm just so curious to know.
Here's a side question. What percentage do you think of people who, let's say the real big fight coming up is going to be between the iPhone 9 and the 8 Plus, right? What percentage of people do you think are going to be either told via marketing or, like, learn from their friends that, like, okay, this design of the iPhone is going away soon. They're not going to make a new 8 lookalike, right?
Yeah.
It might as well move to the new design now because that's where Apple's going in the future, even though that's not confirmed. You know,
well, yeah.
There's a percentage of people who are going to do that, right?
Marketing, I mean, that's a really good point. Marketing is a big, big factor in this. The way Apple can just release one campaign, like one commercial, and change sales. Just like, boom. I think that's what, I'm very confident in the shot on iPhone campaign that we just saw, the very recent one, with the iPhone 8.
But I don't
is why we're
it.
Seeing it
really
outsell.
Don't.
you don't
I don't
think
understand
Apple's marketing
people who
is why
that.
The iPhone 8's doing really well right now.
I mean, Apple knows more about marketing than I do. I am in no place. I'm just talking about from a personal perspective. I don't know anyone who's watched an ad like that and made their mind up from that. In that case, Samsung would be selling all the phones in the world if ads were that easy. They could just show take a picture. And it's like, if that's how easy it was, Samsung should be king of the market 12 months a year.
Samsung's weird. Samsung's weird, Nikki. You got fucking four different messaging apps, and one of them sends out your boobies.
from my experience, the biggest
influence
besides marketing is the people surrounding the consumer. What their family uses, what their friends use, that influences every decision they make.
Which has an Apple logo on it, so.
Yeah, yeah. And, and traditionally, like, when someone switches to an iPhone, pieces start falling in place. Like, okay, this is random, but my niece just got an iPhone 10. She switched off for her LG piece of shit, whatever. And during that, she talked to me about it. And I had iPhones forever. And I was like, yeah, it's great. I mean, she saw me do all the live photo shit and, you know, all the cool little gimmicky things you can do with iPhone. And she's like, oh. Mm-hmm. And the dominoes are falling in place.
Yeah, you know? Drew just said right now, it is a bad time to buy a new iPhone. But
I was going
to
say,
his fucking niece isn't, she's the average person.
Yeah.
Getting a 10.
She just bought an iPhone. It was her time to upgrade. She bought an iPhone. That's the point. Yeah. That is the point. She doesn't know that a new iPhone is 2 months away and she should hold off for the new one.
Yeah. And the crazy
average
thing,
consumer is getting the 10, the $1,000 one.
Well, yeah,
it's got all the best
she's like 16 and didn't, I don't know if she spent her own money.
She just graduated.
That's
her market? She works at Dunkin' Donuts. Okay. So, you know.
Okay. I'm just saying that's Apple's market. Dude, I've seen 6-year olds with iPhone 10s. I don't think
me too.
A problem.
Jealous.
Yeah, super
but jelly. I'm just saying that, like, when the look at the between years, right? When the 7 and the 7 Plus came out, more people bought the 7 Plus. Then when the 3, 8, 8 Plus, and 10 came out, people went for the 10. There were light replacements of the 7 and the 7 Plus, but they still went for the one that had the best overall features.
Of course you would do that. When the 7 and the 7 Plus came out, after four goddamn years, the 7 Plus is the only thing that was like, oh, that's different. That was the dual camera and the portrait mode, and that was in beta mode at the time. That was like Apple's first. Yeah, that was Apple's first getting their foot in the door of releasing something that's not finished yet, which that's a whole different topic. Moral of the story for this year, and not just the rest of 2018, I mean from here, 12 months from now, Apple's going to fucking embarrass Google. That is what's happening right now. Google is clueless right now. Clueless. Fucking clueless. And they don't give a fuck.
It doesn't matter to them.
That's the problem.
That's not where they make their money. Pixel
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
They sell ads.
The Pixel they sell because they're not going to notice.
Right. MKBHD is going to say it's awesome and that's all they care about. And then they'll do the exact same thing the following year. Camera, AI, everything.
Yeah.
I'm very, very certain that Apple attacks the market this year in an aggressive way that we haven't seen for a while.
I agree with that.
It's really sad.
Drew,
no matter what, outsells
why Google sucks.
Yeah.
Drew finally made sense why Google sucks. AI everything. AI are designing the phones. That makes sense. They see the notch. Like, people like notch. Notch on phone.
Put notch on phone. What a fucking joke,
well,
dude.
Me
that
and
Pixel
John
3
had
XL
that.
Can Giant. Go fuck itself.
Yeah, it's bad.
Well, what's funny is if you just watched YouTube, you would assume that like the two giant most successful phone companies are Pixel and Samsung. That's all YouTubers talk about. It's like Samsung or Pixel. Whereas there are literally more Apple Watches sold like per month than there are Pixel phones sold a year. Literally, that's not a joke. Like the
entry cost is a big thing.
What is your YouTuber? What is Marquez going to say? He's going to say, Apple Watches. I mean, they're there, but who cares?
But here's the thing.
You know, like,
I don't need that from Google. That's not Google's point. I think I mentioned on the Talos Tech podcast. The same thing they did with Google Fiber. They didn't. No one gave a fuck about Google Fiber. Google didn't want everyone to have Google Fiber. They just wanted to scare the market and make speeds for every other ISP faster, so people could access Google stuff faster. That's all they care about.
There's a wonderful video by Polymatter that compares, I think it's TechAlter that compares Apple and Google and the fundamental differences between them, and it explains everything. Like Google's policy is just get to the idea first and perfect it later. Apple's the polar opposite. The reason you see such aggressive tactics from Apple is because if they don't sell iPhones, they're dead. That's where they make their money. Facebook makes it from ads. Amazon makes it from retail. They can experiment with Alexa. They can experiment with us other stuff.
Yeah.
Google makes it from ad search. You know, like, they're not worried about the sales. They just want to make what they feel like is good. Doesn't matter if anyone cares about it, just as long as they think it's good.
And that's, but that's all I want from Google. I don't care if they don't sell any Pixels. I just want them to be like, this is the fucking hardware that Android should be running on. This is the prime example. Everyone else take notes. Mm-hmm. But...
oh, jeez.
It's
so bad.
It's the fucking example. It's the fucking example of the phone. And the fucking notch on it! And a big fucking case! What the fuck?
John, you can turn it off, though. Headphone users. Okay. You can turn it off. It's all right.
You can't turn the chin off. You can't turn my disappointment off.
Everyone, wait for the chat to explode.
This is the new meme. Ears. AI yourself a smaller chin. AI yourself set fan base.
But wait for AI the algorithm. Yourself to pick
up on they've single-handedly ruined the market for the next 2 years. Ruined it. Yeah. Every other Android OEM, this is our life now. We just live with this. So I bitched about the notch with Apple. And now I'm going to have no fucking choice because every phone is like that now. And now I go to Apple because now somehow it's the least, it's
you're
the
being
least
fair, John. Punishable. I appreciate that. There's a lot of YouTubers that are not fair about their critiques
you know how,
of Apple
you know
and
how,
Android.
You
OEM.
Know how, you, this is very, a lot of people say this, but you say this a lot, Drew. Mm-hmm. You say, even people that don't want to admit it are biased in some way.
Everyone
they are
is.
Biased.
Everyone.
They are biased in some way, and that's okay. And you make it real positive and everything. But Drew,
that's
my
fine.
Friend, Drew, my friend, I'm not fucking biased. Like, I think the issue here is I just don't give a fuck. Like, I don't give enough fucks. There aren't
that is,
enough fucks
that is
growing in the fuck
not
field.
Unbiased.
John,
that is
I got
a,
you.
That is a,
John,
that is a point of view.
I agree with you, Drew.
That is
Drew's
a,
right. John, John, listen to me. You're biased.
Not caring.
Don't
opinion.
You fucking take? No.
No, listen, listen.
Don't you do it?
You're biased.
Don't you fucking
towards
do it?
Good design. You want
exactly
good, not towards
okay.
brand.
Okay, that's
towards,
fair. I'm not. Yeah, right, I'm not right, biased right. towards either. Yeah, you're right.
Like John,
okay,
10 plus has a dual camera. You don't care about the dual camera. You're fine with a 9. That's your bias. You're like, that's something I don't need. I don't want that. So I'm when okay. I talk about the iPhones in my videos, I'm not going to include that as a fair point against the 9. You're just like, that's not important to me.
My argument
that's your
is
opinion.
Not.
That's your bias.
My argument is that I'm not biased towards a brand. Like specifically for like my job, like typically yes, these tech YouTubers and people that talk about this stuff in this niche are biased towards something. Mm-hmm. I honestly, and I think that's one of the benefits of our show, I don't give a single fuck. I will shit in the mouth of Samsung. I will shit in the mouth of Tim Cook.
Sure.
I don't give a fuck. Just give me something that works. I'll pull my britches down and shit right in his fucking mouth.
I'll agree with you there. Yeah. I don't think you have, I haven't seen any company preference or brand preference you've had ever in
it's
all the
Blackberry.
Content I've seen. Blackberry. Yeah. They're the winners. Hey, there you go. That's your bias.
Oh,
bring
boy.
That up next time. Yeah. This is your Blackberry sheep.
We've gotten to the point. We've got to the yelly part of the show.
I think that's a perfect time to wrap it up and move into the post show.
All right.
Okay. So we're gonna go into the post show again. This is for people that watch live. If you want more yells, you should have tuned in live. If you like the show or you learn anything, subscribe on iTunes. Go ahead and check us out on YouTube. I actually just found out how popular the audio version of this show is. I had no idea previously. Like I was almost thinking, like, is it even worth it to do audio? Audio listeners, I apologize. Nope. I didn't realize there were so many of you. I promise I'll keep the boat afloat. But thank you for tuning in and listening. You can follow us on YouTube as well and get the video version of this podcast. Some of you probably didn't know that there is a video version. You can see Drew Psoriasis in HD. It's really great.
Oh my God.
Thank you. Thank you, Drew. Drew, thanks for being on the show. Even though we're mortal enemies,
thank you for having me. Absolutely. It was very difficult, and I'm just waiting for this to be over, but thanks for having me.
I know. I promise we'll let you go soon. Brian, as always, thanks for. Thank you for being a friend.
Hey, man. Fuck
Let's
you.
Let's travel
Thank
down
you.
The road and back again.
Yeah.
Your heart is true. You're a pal and a
confidant. I don't lie to you. You ass.
And if you threw a party and invited everyone you knew, the biggest.
It was nice to meet you, Brian.
Would be.
Wait, what? Are you rapping right now? What are you doing?
No, the Golden Girls theme song. Come on, man.
Oh my.
Is that rap?
Now I'm disappointed in you. Drew, did you know it was the Golden Girls theme?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, Drew's my new best friend. Sorry, Brian.
He's lying. It's a lie. It's a lie. Podcast over.
See you next week. Bye, everybody. Goodbye. Bye.
Take care.